Hello, my name is Michael, and you're listening to Forever Sound Version, a video game music podcast. How do, dear friends, and welcome to episode number 46, if I'm not mistaken, of this video game music podcast, which is called Forever Sound Version. Forever Sound Version. It's for you. And today, I don't know what that was. Today I have a guest. This is the first time in too long that I've been joined by a guest, so it's great to welcome my friend Ross to my house.
Hi, you alright?
Hello, Ross. Yes, I'm alright. Hi, Genki Desu, because I've recently started learning Japanese.
You picked up the Japanese, right? Yeah.
Very slowly.
Gosh, yeah. I'm learning the alphabet. I've still not got around to any actual Japanese yet.
Oh, okay.
I know maybe maybe 30 kana. I'm not that far through yet, man, but I'm getting there.
There's a lot of it. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah. It's
I know Biru Onomose is roughly let's drink beer.
Oh, right,
so
yeah.
That's an important one.
Yeah, no, you need that, yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
So, yes, thanks for coming.
Oh, yeah, no problem, man, no problem.
We've been wanting to do this one for a little while, I would say.
A few months, yeah.
It's good to finally pin a date down. We've just been watching some Amiga demos.
Yeah, impressive sounds on that of the older machines. Yeah, it's great.
No doubt. But it's time for business. Today we are going to be focusing on some music from Real Time Strategies. As such, the first track we had at the top of the show was from a title called Megalomania, and that was the Mega Drive version. What is the title of this track? It's the main BGM we just had. Yes, it's the BGM that plays in-game. Originally composed by Richard Joseph and Michael Burdett, but it was adapted for the Mega Drive's hardware, the YM2612, etc., by Matt Furness, a very popular VGM composer these days. Right, so this is the first real-time strategy game that I played. Kind of started out as a chiefly an Amiga thing.
Yeah, it was developed for the Amiga, right?
Mm. Yeah. So, how familiar are you with this
one? I never played Megalomania. I mean, I'm kind of a fan of Sensible Games, the company who made it, playing a lot of Sensible Soccer and Cannon Fodder, but I never actually touched on Megalomania. So it was actually was new to me. Although I had heard of it. We were looking earlier and it was the first one with a tech tree, wasn't it?
That's right. The first, it's what I've read anyway, the first RTS to have a technology tree, which is quite an important distinction.
Yeah, definitely.
For the genre, right?
Totally, yeah. I mean, it's I guess a tech tree is part of basically all the strategy games I was playing anyway, you know, things like Command & Conquer and Age of Empires, StarCraft, all these. The tech tree is kind of the framework on how you kind of advance the game.
Yes.
So it started there, I guess.
Yeah, right. So this is a lot of fun, this one. I haven't played it too recently, although I did dig it out maybe last year, and it's one of those games with a pretty severe difficulty curve.
Right, okay.
The first few levels are kind of
classic
okay.
Retro, yeah.
I think so, yeah. So basically you assume the role of like a god sort of figure, and in a certain level there'll be at least one other god to do battle with, and you have to defeat them and their people by some strange quasi metaphysical teleportation military forces. It's a deeply strange thing on these floating islands in space, or at least that's what it looks okay. like, heavily stylized, I guess. Really quite an interesting game, and it makes good use of speech samples, so the gods can kind of talk a little bit, like they can gloat about beating you, or
right,
you can ask them to join you, or they can ask if you want to join them, and they can turn you down or accept. So it's kind of a curious one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess having extensive speech was somewhat of a rarity in that era as well, so it's
certainly
an advancement for the genre.
Yeah, I think so. What do you make of the music we just heard there?
Mysterious was the first thing that came to my mind, really. It's kind of, I guess it's sort of, I mean, obviously it's very reminiscent of the era. It's kind of like a lot of, I guess the FM sounds, particularly in that Mega Drive track, that sort of like frequency modulated kind of BP sort of sound, I guess, but with, obviously more detail to it than that.
Ominous too, right?
Yeah, totally, yeah.
This is the main BGM that plays in all the levels, so you're going to get familiar with it.
And okay, so you'd hear that looped a lot then.
You will do, yes, and as such it's quite a lengthy piece if you were to play it its entire duration.
Right.
That little snare drum beating away, then that military kind of motif.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I guess that sort of drives it and kind of reinforces that kind of that military aspect.
Yeah, no
doubt.
A lot
of these games have.
So I'm kind of... I'm going to be heavily reliant on you here, Ross, because you are the real-time strategy expert,
oh,
definitely. If you could put it into a couple of sentences, don't get too precious about the definition, but if you could define RTS, like what is it about the game that makes it work, the genre that makes it work, and why is it so popular?
Well, it's funny you say that, actually, because I think real-time strategy recently has gone through kind of a bit of a low point, really. We kind of had the heyday of real-time strategy in kind of the sort of the late 90s and early 2000s, I reckon, when we had kind of the Warcraft games before World of Warcraft, and we had kind of the Command & Conquer series and all that were big games then. And kind of strategy game-wise, we've kind of moved much more towards kind of team-based games, like kind of, I guess, League of Legends and Dota and this sort of thing.
Oh, Dota's pretty big, right?
Yeah, huge, huge. And so they kind of, I guess, real-time strategy games like Starcraft and stuff have kind of fallen off a bit, but in terms of defining it... I mean, a lot of it's in the name. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's a strategy game, but typically in older games, the strategy would be turn-based because that's kind of easier to kind of compute, I guess. You don't have to have the sort of the live AI with everything kind of constantly running. I don't know, it's much simpler from a programming perspective.
That makes sense.
So the real-time strategy element was kind of, that's where that term comes from, I think. It's kind of, it's defining it as different from turn-based. But, I mean, for me, a real-time strategy game has, I guess, there's army control. You're trying to control a lot of units, doing a lot of different things all at once. Mm. Typically, you'll have an economy-type system of some sort, so you'll have to get a resource to spend the resource on a bigger army to allow you to get more of that resource, and you'll be typically competing against somebody to do the same sort of thing. But, I mean, that's kind of... That's a very... Command and Conquer and sort of StarCraft type real-time strategy look at things. I mean, you look at games like the second Dawn of War game, for example, completely did away with base building, and it was all very kind of skirmishy, and you kind of had a few units and you could get extra units to do what you wanted to do, but it was much more about sort of shorter kind of skirmish based games where you're trying to control a limited number of units and you weren't fighting over resources in the same way. Kind of there's a lot of elements, but I mean typically it'd be like a top-down 3D thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. And of course, later on in this episode, we do have a little bit of a curveball. We won't spoil it, but there is an interesting one. Ordinarily, it's a combat oriented.
Yeah,
genre.
I guess. Yeah,
but not always.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're right in that. Yeah, I hadn't really thought of that. I mean, yeah, typically I would have said that real time strategy games were combat, but yeah, not always.
Not always. We'll get into that later. All right. Well, I do believe it's your pick next because mine was Megalomania. What you got for us to get us moving again?
We have a track from the StarCraft II Wings of Liberty soundtrack. This is Heaven's Devils, which is, I guess, a Terran-based soundtrack. So of the three races in StarCraft, you have Terran, who are the humans, and then you've got the Zerg, who are kind of an alien. Bug species.
They call them the Zerg.
Yes, they do.
That's what they went with.
Well, you know, come from somewhere. And the Protoss, who are kind of like space elves or something like that, the usual tropes. So the Terrans, this is a human kind of in space theme, I guess.
Ah, great. All right. And we have any composers for this? There are quite a few composers.
Oh, yeah, there's a big list of composers.
I'll tell you the ones that I have. I can't vouch for the veracity of this. Pertaining to this particular track, but I've got Chris Velasco, Derek Duke, Glenn Stafford, Neil Acree, Russell Brower, and Sasha Dikisian. I'm probably butchering that last one, but quite a team.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, that sounds good to me. Yeah, no, I mean, I guess at Blizzard, in 2010, the people making soundtrack, you know, they've got a lot of space for a huge soundtrack, so why not a lot of people working on it?
A lot of clout on that one.
Much different from the 90s games, I guess. Anyway, yes, this is StarCraft II Wings of Liberty. Heaven's Devils.
Heaven's Devils. Here we go. Holy smokes. All right, we just had Heaven's Devils from StarCraft II Wings of Liberty. And that's Blizzard 2010 PC.
Yeah.
Man, that was really quite something.
Yeah, I think the StarCraft II soundtrack's a masterpiece, and that's the track.
I'm very pleasantly surprised by that.
It's beautiful. So this is Terran theme music. There's three races in StarCraft, and this is the human race.
Yes.
They're kind of, I guess, space cowboys, which is, I guess, why certainly the last act of that tune is very kind of, it stinks of that. There's
got
kind
a bit
of that frontier, yeah.
Dueling fiddle and all that.
Yeah, totally, yeah. It's all there for that, yeah.
No doubt. You know, you were talking as the track was playing about how, you know, these are humans we're dealing with, and yet they're also at the mercy of this like biomech armor type stuff. I don't know if it was conscious on the part of the composers, but I couldn't help but think about the synergy between the more organic acoustic instruments of the fiddle and the acoustic guitar, and then the little synthetic touches and the chugging electric guitars. It was sort of like man versus machine.
Definitely,
type kind of binary going on there.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, that's... Well, I'm glad you've noticed that.
I could be reading into it a bit too much.
That's very much... There's kind of a duality to Terran, especially when you're playing StarCraft, actually. There's kind of you can play it as a bio race or a mechanical race, but there's always that kind of two sides to it that are really just gelled together as one, as a, you know, is how the race works. Because they are... I mean, they are... They are human, but they are the humans of the future. So they're biomechanical, and all the Terran soldiers, for example, the Marines, are prisoners who are just forced into it, and they're kind of screwed into their armor. But it's all kind of biomechanical, so it's it's literally like interacting with their nervous system and feeding them drugs and all this kind of thing.
Yikes!
They are very mechanical. Despite
I can't
being
wait
bio.
For the future, Russ.
Oh, it's going to be great! Yeah,
can't wait for that. Wow. Yeah, I mean, so we're kind of working backwards from the end here, because it's quite an emphatic end. And, you know, I don't mean to sound flippant or dismissive, but there was bits where I was starting to think it was kind of getting a bit Bon Jovi towards the end.
Yeah,
which
definitely.
I'm completely okay with.
There was a few interesting like switches in like sort of like keying and pace and stuff.
Like, David Overline.
Yeah, totally.
But towards the start, though, you've got a... classic Terran mech metal on the notes.
Yeah, that's the way I described it. Terran mech metal, because that's really what it is. It has that mechanical sort of metal in the background, kind of like, you know, it is big and like that, but it does have a human element too. And you definitely picked out the sort of the analog sounds and stuff really well there. I hadn't myself. I'm not as acute as that, when I'm playing that game, this particular track stinks of that race, and especially that for the first section is so just completely what it feels like to play Terran.
Huh.
This building sort of panic, I guess, would be the best way of putting it. I certainly think it feels like that.
It sounds very macho to me.
Oh, it is. They are completely macho. Yeah,
it's very macho.
They're
hearing muscles
on the frontier. They're muscly. They're smoking cigars. They're, you know, whatever. It's great. They're a fun bunch, the Terrans, if very rough.
I'm sure. Well, thanks a lot for bringing this to the table. I'm gonna go away and check out the rest of the soundtrack after we're finished.
There's three games there as well. Because Wings of Liberty is the Terran expansion of StarCraft 2.
Right,
I say expansion, the original StarCraft 2, and then there's two other bits to it as well with the other race soundtracks, much more based. So Wings of Liberty for Terran music is definitely the boy.
Great. What about the race that there was the more... what was that? There was you say Zerg before?
Yes, the Zerg.
What's the Zerg music like?
That's a funny one to describe. I mean, I'm a Zerg player myself, so that's my kind of my spiritual home, I guess. But I actually don't like their music as much as the Terran music.
Right.
It's all right, but it's just not as memorable.
Sure.
I find it easier to describe the Protoss music, to be honest. That's really ethereal and kind of like it feels like kind of elven almost, like, you know, the kind of high pitched strings and the sort of distant spacey sounds with like occasional really deep bassy I don't know, it's kind of
some sort of like Scandinavian post rock thing, maybe.
Ooh, maybe.
That's sort of business.
Less guitars, but like it's just it's a fun, yeah, it's a weird one. I definitely think the Terran soundtrack's the strong point of these games. Even in StarCraft 1, the Terran music was phenomenal. There's a track that I almost picked instead of this one, and I just couldn't have two StarCraft tracks.
Well, so maybe next time.
Maybe next time. Yeah. But that's
brilliant.
Recommend it.
Well, that was excellent. Let's keep this moving. I'm going to pick my second tune on now, and I'm going what I would consider to be pretty classic. I don't know what you reckon.
Absolutely.
PC, absolutely. Once again, PC does seem like a fairly obvious platform for these kind of games, you know, moving a mouse around, etc. I've picked Age of Empires. There you go, just shooting straight down the middle.
One of RTS. The best. One of the best.
Age of Empires for PC. Composers are David Rippey and Stephen Rippey, who are brothers. There you go, right, isn't that? Yeah. Keeping it in the family there. And so this is a real-time strategy. It's among the first ones I played. Around the same time I got into Command & Conquer.
Definitely,
when I was a kid.
I mean, Command & Conquer was the first one I played, and it was either this or Red Alert second.
Sure,
and,
you know, I was
Command
much the
Conquer
same.
Game, so yeah, you know, it's definitely one of those games.
And this is a pretty interesting one, since it has some kind of basis in real objective history. So you can pick between 12 civilizations.
Yeah.
To be your kind of, I guess it's analogous to having a race.
I mean, we talk about race a lot in StarCraft, but yeah, definitely.
I guess in some cases it literally is picking some kind of geography.
I'm not sure what they called them in Age of Empires,
yeah,
but
there
were
quite a few, right?
Yeah, there was 12 of them, right? Yeah, and they each had individual, because they were basically the same, but had individual strengths and weaknesses. Like certain units and certain things were better, but it wasn't. They weren't as different as in a, say, StarCraft or Warcraft, where they're literally completely different.
Yeah,
sets
it's not
of
that
units.
Radical. Yeah.
No, but at the same time, that is sort of easier to balance, and at the same time, you can kind of. There's still a lot of space for creativity. You can create new races and go, oh, we'll have a Mongol race and give them really good horses, and then, oh, I don't know, we'll have the Egyptian race and they're really good at building, I don't know, buildings, something like that.
I see. Right, what we got then? I've got a tune, I've got a track called Gamelan, which immediately brings to mind Gamelan music, Javanese and Balinese traditional music, which is based on like percussive instruments. What we would call them, like xylophone-esque things, maybe. But the thing about gamelan is it has to be played by like multiple people at once. It's like deeply collaborative, and you can't just take any instruments outside of an ensemble. The whole thing, like multiple instruments combined, is the singular instrument. So it's deeply. It's a lot of the playing of this stuff is based on various rituals and social, you know, material social events, like actual social happenings have different arrangements and what have you,
right.
I understand. A lot of people have studied this. Has had a pretty profound influence on Western music, like Western art music, common practice music. So composers, like early 20th century composers, like Béla Bartók, Hungarian composer, and Messiaen as well, and Ligeti, if you're going to go a bit more modernist, they've drawn elements from gamelan for some melodic ideas and some rhythmic ideas particularly. It's been a while since I've really listened to much what you would call like authentic gamelan stuff, but I listen to this tune from Age of Empires and I do kind of hear I hear where the composers are coming from with this, and it kind of makes sense that they'd have a tune of this sort in the game, since I believe there are civilizations you can pick from in the game which are from East Asia, so there's a like geographical historical link there that's quite palpable. So here it is, gamelan. This is not like an authentic rendition of a gamelan performance, but it is inspired by it. Here it is, Gamelan, Age of Empires for the PC. Thank you. That was Gamelan from Age of Empires, the original, the first Age of Empires, on the PC. And yeah, that's rolling back the years for both of us.
I think. Definitely. Yeah, that's it's one of the earliest
thinking about RTS games I played. Foraging anyway. And
yeah, because hear that little that chopping wood noise that. You're cutting down the forests and yeah, that. Yeah, no, that's a fantastic game. It's weird to go back and play it again now. I haven't played the first one recently, but there was a HD remaster of the second game, which it was great. It was full of nostalgia, but
I like the second one too.
The pathing on some of the AI is incredibly bad. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah?
It's a lot of fun compared to modern RTS games.
It's one of those things where you pick too many and some people will try and go a long way around
completely
and walk into opposing armies by accident and
definitely
I had that on Command and Conquer as well. I'd just be completely mowed down by accident.
the mammoth tanks and things all running each other over, whatever.
Happy days.
That's red alert, never mind.
You can get mammoth tanks on one, right? I think on the GDI have mammoth tanks.
The GDI have mammoth
tanks. Dead slow.
I was playing Nod, you see.
Of course, yeah.
Brotherhood.
What do you make of that tune, Gamelan? I mean, I know you're already familiar with it.
Well, yeah, I love it. I mean, that is full of nostalgia, specifically, that track. It just invokes memories of just playing Age of Empires because it's so completely kind of in the feel of the game because it has that kind of Civilizations sound to the untrained ear, I guess. I mean, I wasn't familiar with the term Gamelan before you explained it just before, for example. I've been reading that as Gameland.
Which is great because it's like game, LAN, local area network.
Yeah, yeah. That's obviously what they would call a tune, right?
Yeah, right. Maybe it's like a dual meaning thing. That's actually a crappy thing that I've not been picking up on.
But without any musical history sort of knowledge at the time, that certainly felt like you were playing as this sort of, I guess, relatively tribal kind of thing, like not to sort of degrade where it's come from or anything, but it has that sort of
like a nascent natural technology feeling. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're trying to like start something and build something, you know, like a kind of natural basis in your environment, rather than that really, that like, you know, very much unlike the Terran mech metal that we heard before.
Right.
It's completely the opposite.
Well, it's night and day, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And yet they're almost the same type of game. I mean, you've got the same base building elements, the fighting, the you know, the resource management and economy, all that kind of thing.
Just a different setting.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
I hear that. Something about like the rhythms in this thing being influenced by Gamelan, I suppose, is they're really quite jaunty, but it doesn't, the way it's paced, the rhythms are jaunty, but it doesn't sound too busy. Like it still sounds peaceful somehow, in spite of it being kind of unorthodox to our ears, really.
Yeah.
But I can still quite happily click around a screen and not feel too unnerved by it. So
yeah, it doesn't make you too,
something quite skillful in that, I think.
Yeah, it's actually quite relaxing, which
exactly.
I think it's difficult to achieve in real-time strategy games, which can often be a complete panic when you're playing them. it's nice to have that to sort of bring you back. Especially with this track, because I mean, I especially associate this with the sort of the early stages of the game.
Okay.
It has that feel of just kind of like you're trying to sort your economy out, and you know, you're building a few troops to make sure they're not, like, you know, stealing your gold or whatever.
So this piece absolutely would not work if you were being smashed by catapults or something.
No, definitely not. No,
it would sound a bit sarcastic then.
Absolutely.
Great stuff. All right, well, should we have your next one?
Yes, I mean, speaking of being smashed by catapults...
Seamless.
This is a tune that is actually the battle music, basically, because it was this game used kind of dynamic music a lot, and I mean, I guess it was it present throughout all modern games, really, but the idea that, like, you know, when you get into battle, more battle-relevant music plays, and when you're, you know, not in battle, more chilled music plays, that kind of thing. So this is from Stronghold, which is a Firefly Studios game. From 2001, again on the PC, and now this is called Sticks and Stones Medley, and it's essentially the battle music for when you would start a siege on a castle or some such sort.
So sort of segue into this tune from something more peaceful, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. There was I was looking through the soundtrack on this, and there was a lot of much more peaceful tracks that I was considering picking, but this is the one that kind of invoked the most memories and the most kind of visceral feelings in me.
Like,
so yeah,
you gotta go with that.
Yeah, definitely. So this was the one I remembered the most, and
nice.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. This is This is Sticks and Stones Medley, and we should mention that Sticks is spelled S-T-I-X, because they're being cool, you see.
That's it, yeah. That's
it was 2001, right?
Well, that's it, yeah. You've got to sell your game, haven't you?
Yeah, so. No doubt. Were people still saying Dab On then? Like, I was. I don't know. Maybe most Americans had stopped, but I was still saying it. So it was of that time, surely.
About around. This, same era.
This definitely. Game is Dab On. Sticks and Stones Medley from Stronghold on the PC. Composer is Robert L. Uvino.
Yep, that's how I'd say it.
All right, let's go. Another windswept epic from Ross there. What a pick that was.
Yeah, I'm going for the long tracks tonight, apparently.
Hey, why not? Sticks and Stones medley from Stronghold, Firefly Studios. That was Robert L. Uvino, the maestro. And it feels... the transitions in there are quite natural sounding.
Yeah, you know? it blends quite well from one bit into another, even though there are quite a lot of sections to that song. I mean, there's sort of the first half of the track is kind of, it's back and forth between like some sort of building section and then the sort of that bit with all the really detuned like brass like stabs
all
and stuff like that. And then like it moves on to sort of there's like a big grand section and a big like sort of where it, I don't know, it's sort of slow and you've got that Clash of Titans feel is something I've put in my notes there, and it has that sort of...
But the battle's getting pretty rough.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like, you know, all the ammo's gone from the catapults, the oil's already over the walls, like, you know, all the arrows are gone and everyone's just trying to stab each other. It's kind of, it's just, everything's gone, it's just chaos at that point.
Yeah, yeah,
but it's
yeah.
still, I don't know, it kind of, it isn't chaotic in the sense of the... like the music being chaotic, but it has that kind of that end of battle, almost like Roman like heroicism kind of like ideal of sort of,
I know what you
kind
mean.
Of pushing through to the end idea, and all around you is just absolute chaos kind of thing, and that very much would be what was going on in the game at that point.
I can imagine, actually, yeah.
And
then you have this section where it's a lot of really heavy timpani rolls with some military.
Yeah, you
snares.
Like that? Yeah,
that was smart.
You picked up on that one. It's yeah, I mean, it's very military, all the snare, all the time, but it's, I mean, I'm trying to figure where that felt mentally when I'm playing the game, because the first few sections I could really feel, and actually the last section as well, with the kind of the woodwind and then the kind of the vocal bit at the end, I can feel... Feel how the game felt during those songs, if that makes sense.
I think so. Yeah,
I don't know. There's a very nostalgic element to these ones because it's such an old game. But
tremendous piece. There's some interesting stuff going on. Just throughout the piece, there are lots of interesting things going on. But early on, I couldn't help but be reminded of the soundtrack, or certain elements of the soundtrack of Final Fantasy VIII. Actually, Nobuo Uematsu's work on that game. There are some unexpected military themes playing in that game. I guess it makes sense because you're kids in this military academy, child soldiers, so almost.
Right. Yeah,
it is meant to have a military impetus to the game early on, especially. So it makes sense in that regard.
Yeah,
but it's just an interesting thing. Like it's some of the treatment of the orchestration, and there's a couple of fruity scales in there, like a lot of kind of minor second intervals making things sound really tense.
Yeah.
There's definitely a few tracks on Final Fantasy VIII where you're doing a little bit of like town-specific questing where it ups the ante a bit and gives you this kind of plodding, grandiose sort of motif.
Yeah.
And then later on when that, towards the end of the track, before and also during the choral and the vocal bits, there was this really pervasive drum beat that sounded just like one of the final boss tunes of Final Fantasy VIII. I think it's called Maybe I'm a Lion.
Right.
Anyone who's heard it will know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's got a really funny vocal voice sample in it, and there's a bit of cheeky, like almost bluesy organ in there as well, whilst this sort of, I'm going to call it a breakbeat because I don't know what else to call it. It sort of is a looping drum figure that sounds like it could have been sampled. I'm sure it wasn't because they've thrown everything at this thing. But it really does sound like that Maybe I'm a Lion. It's a real jam. I'm going to call it a jam. It sounds like that jam.
That good, yeah.
And at the same time, it sounds sort of stark. Especially after all that came before it on this tune.
Yeah, I think it's quite an odd ending.
It's a bit desperate.
Yeah, like, and I think, I guess by that point of the combat, if you get this is dynamic music, so it would happen in the game as a battle would start. This music would start up and would basically play as we heard it until the fight ended, and then the nice sort of peacetime music would come back.
Okay.
So if you got to that back end of the song, the fight has definitely been going on too long. Things are very desperate.
Makes sense.
And it does give you that feel, I think.
Nice. Well, that's a I think that was a good 10 minutes, that one, and it was a bloody good 10 minutes. So
my last one's a bit shorter, don't worry.
Don't worry about it, it's fine. People who listen to these podcasts invariably insist, VGM podcasts that is, they invariably insist that you play the whole track, you know, at least once,
that's
depending on
for.
The length. So it's fine.
Yeah.
All right, I've got a track now from a different style entirely. This is Syndicate, a real-time strategy game, and this was released on a number of platforms, but I'm going to go with the Sega Mega CD version, which I understand is one of the more obscure ports of this. I tried looking for a definitive credit for the composer, couldn't find one, but it's probably Russell Shaw. This is a Bullfrog game.
Yeah.
And Russell Shaw did the Mega Drive. I think he might have done maybe all of the... He's the principal composer of this game.
Right.
So I'm going to tentatively credit Russell Shaw with this. I'm going to play... I don't even know the name of the track. I've got track 3, so I wasn't joking about this being one of the lesser-known versions of this game. I'm doing my usual trick of going deeper than I probably ought to. But Syndicate, what do you know about Syndicate?
Not a great deal, to be honest. It's not a game I'm even really at all familiar with.
All right.
You're going to have to explain this one to
okay.
me. This isn't what I can...
I don't have a ton of experience with it myself. I have played it before on the SNES, actually. I remember when it came out, it got some mixed reviews in the magazines I was reading at the time. Some people were really impressed with it, and a lot of that was to do with its setting, which was a deeply cyberpunk kind of thing.
Yeah.
It looks a little bit Terminator-y, I suppose.
Brilliant, yeah.
Which is no bad thing.
In that era, that's perfect as well.
Right.
Mega CD's prime Terminator era.
No doubt. So it's like an isometric view as well, rather than completely top-down. I suppose isometric views in these games wasn't uncommon. But it does mean you get look around corners in these cities that you're sending your team around.
Yeah.
So one of the more interesting facets of this game, because it is a kind of a combat oriented thing where you're trying to get supremacy over your opponents in this like a real time combat kind of thing.
Yeah.
It incorporates a taxation system, so rather than mining as such, you know, digging in mines or chopping down trees like in Age of Empires.
Yeah.
You make the citizens of the places you're in charge of pay you taxes.
Right.
You have to keep an eye on that because you want to keep yourself in money to keep yourself in the game, but you don't want to tax too much because then they'll revolt, the population will revolt against you if you tax them too much, which is just a fascinating mechanic. I can't think of any other game that does that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, that sounds a bit like Civilization.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very different style of strategy game. I mean, Civilization's a turn-based 4X strategy game. I can't remember what the 4Xs are. It's like exploration and 3 other things.
Excitement.
Something like that. That kind of grand strategy game. I've seen that sort of mechanic in before, but not in real time strategy.
This is different. Like a sort of a dystopian cyberpunk take on. Hey, it's like maybe it's not entirely like it at all. But I'm gonna, since we mentioned the Terminator, my favorite Schwarzenegger film is The Running Man.
Running Man,
and
right?
Of course, everyone's kind of brainwashed by the mega corporation government,
yeah.
And then towards the end, the freedom fighters hack the media and go, "You are being lied to," and then the revolt happens and all that. Maybe it's a little bit like that. I don't know.
Brilliant.
It's a cool looking game. It's not everyone's cup of tea, from what I've seen.
I like the sound of the theme. I like isometric games
cool
anyway.
Yeah.
Isometric stuff, I've got a real soft spot for. So yeah, that sounds good.
All right, give it a shot then. I mean, I'm not very good at this game.
Yeah,
I think you need to put time into this thing.
Practice.
Maybe one day I'll decide to really hammer it, because it is a nice looking game.
Oh, we'll do that.
Right up my street. So here's track 3 then. Probably Russell Shaw. I do apologise for not having it completely nailed down. And this is another pretty slight pick from me. It's very texture carried. That is to say, there's not much in the way of a prevailing melody, like a linear impetus. It's quite textural, so it's all about the simultaneous layers of synths that gives this piece its interesting faculties for me. See what you think. Here it is, track 3 from Syndicate on the Sega Mega CD. Thank you. a world of opportunity. Malfunctioning cyborgs are causing destruction and traffic congestion in the Munich contract zone. Deactivate them, return their weaponry, and let our enemies know that we are back in business. That is the briefing from level one of Syndicate on the Sega Mega CD, or Sega CD, whatever you want to call it. And
traffic congestion is a major issue.
Yeah, in the dystopian future, everyone needs to be thinking about that traffic congestion.
Guys, there's some destruction going on, and there's some traffic congestion too. Could you sort both of those things out?
We were just watching a little bit of gameplay footage from the Sega Mega CD port of Syndicate, and you're kind of controlling a small party rather than an army. I neglected to mention that before. And they sort of walk in complete perfect, like, lockstep unison, and they're just going around firing guns and ostensibly easing traffic congestion in futuristic Munich for some reason.
Yeah, it's like if they're all dressed up as Morpheus from The Matrix, and we're walking in absolute perfect unison. Like, it's the weirdest, like, traffic congestion.
Again, I can't wait for the future if this is what we've got to look forward to.
Oh, hell yeah.
Some kind of horrible, ultra-modern traffic Gestapo thing happening. It's not going to be fun with all the combat drugs you get pumped into your armor.
Oh, God, yeah.
Nah, I don't know about this. I might just hide in a cave.
Yeah.
Too scary. Well, that's what'd you make of that piece of music then? Track three, we're calling it, from the Mega CD port of Syndicate.
I mean, definitely fit with what was going on on screen.
Mm-hmm.
How old is this game?
This was released in 93.
93, right, okay. I thought it felt like early, but I had it in my head that it was slightly later than that for some reason. But
this is Red Brick Audio too. With the,
yeah, definitely, right, okay. I guess it has that sort of dystopian aspect to it.
Mm.
It just fits with the game sound, really. I mean, it's
a very slight one, definitely. Like, I was threatening to pick some slight tracks.
Maybe this is the slightest of the. It's definitely the developer. Like, it comes through the layering and stuff. It's not
It's true. It's true BGM, where B is the background, background music.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
The rest of the soundtrack's kind of like this.
Right.
I picked this one just because I thought it had the most interesting stuff. Texturally, like the percussive loop, the way it fades in and out, I thought that was kind of a nice touch, just to mark time at a macro level, I suppose, but also just because there's something sort of bleak about that, kind of blowing in on the wind. Like, I'm hearing like wind blowing through these really dark looking dystopian streets, and
definitely
danger around every corner,
filled with the dead bodies of people who are causing traffic congestion.
That's right.
Definitely. That's
that's what their departed souls would sound like, no doubt. Yeah. All right. Okay, so let's have you have one more pick.
I do. Yeah, this is my third and final track. It's actually another Bullfrog game.
Yeah, look what we've done
here. Is likely to be, well, I say it's likely, this one is Russell Shaw.
It is Russell Shaw and Tony Cox, right.
With Tony Cox,
on the controls.
So this one is a bit of a departure from my earlier selections of, build an army and kill each other. This is from Theme Hospital, which I'd completely call a real-time strategy game. It happens in real time, and it's a strategy game.
It's allowed, This is sort of the opposite of army games. Trying to heal people rather than kill people.
Sort of the serious kind of saving the galaxy type crack. We've more got kind of trying to cure disease on a small level, but it's also just really fun and a funny game. Yeah. It's basically just a comedy game of saving lives in a hospital.
All the diseases are sort of made up and a bit wacky.
Yeah, right? Definitely. So deep piles, for example, is a classic
in
theme
all fairness,
hospital
that
disease.
Sounds pretty serious.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would not want them.
Yeah, I can't remember what the big head.
The big head one
was called. I think it had a name, but
it wasn't just big head.
No, it was just big head thing. But
maybe off mic we'll have a look and see some of the afflictions.
You've had to visit the deflator room to get your head deflated and reinflated. So this is a track from Theme Hospital. Now, actually, I don't know exactly the use of this track. I believe it was menus and possibly in game a little bit, but it definitely has that menu. Mm. joviality. Yeah. But its name is Atlantis.
Interesting title, Atlantis. I was trying to find a reason behind that.
I have no idea. I think
it's It's just what the track's called, I think.
Yeah, they just went with that.
Atlantis, yes. All right, well, here we have it then. Atlantis from Theme Hospital on the PC. Of course, this game was ported to a couple... I think it was on the PlayStation.
I played it on the PlayStation myself.
That's where I played it first.
I had Theme Park on MS-DOS originally in the day, but the Theme Hospital was I played it on PlayStation, even though it was originally a PC game, I think.
Okay, that's what we're going with, PC. This is a Bullfrog game once again, 1997, and it's Russell Shaw and Tony Cox on composition duty. Atlantis. Nice. That was Atlantis, the bizarrely named Atlantis from Theme Hospital on the PC, 1997. And that's got a real Maxis thing going on for me, like SimCity 2000.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah. No,
sort of like hold music funk.
Definitely, yeah,
like
definitely, yeah.
Really cheesy.
It's there's no denying the cheese. It's just, well, yeah, thick with it. But, it's just got that kind of that classic sort of catchiness to it that a lot of strategy game music of that era had. SimCity is a great example, actually. There was a lot of the soundtrack of that I looked at when we were I was picking tunes for this podcast. I don't feel it was quite real time enough personally, but
I understand.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I like the unit control thing, but I guess there isn't that in some. In, whatever. I've got my reasons.
Theme Hospital works on, in this genre. I think it just about qualifies.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of. I felt you could control the doctors and stuff enough, and you could, like, you know, pick them up and drop them places,
right,
and stuff like that.
Whereas
in Theme,
yeah,
Hospital, you sort of, you make the plans and then everyone else has to carry them out on a down to earth level.
It's also the simultaneity of problems. Like, you get that, yeah, in a combat game as well, where,
yeah,
oh, I'm over here, but I should be over there.
Yeah, totally.
It's like,
yeah,
and at the same time, you have some farming going on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I think it qualifies on that basis.
I used to get really good at dragging and dropping doctors around the hospital to wherever they need to be, just to save money on staff. Because,
oh, nice.
You know, all the cuts.
Times is tough.
It's austerity, bro.
It's a disgrace. Well, we've been looking into some of the afflictions you might find yourself with should you be in Theme Hospital universe, and we found a tremendous chart here which lists the illnesses, the causes, the symptoms, and the cures. Let's pick some of our favourites.
Yeah, I mean, what I hadn't realised was quite how many there were. I remember there being a good few, but, like, it's so well thought out.
What do we have here? Corrugated ankles, which is caused by driving over traffic calming measures in the road. See, if this was Syndicate, people would be obeying these things, and we wouldn't have to worry about.
You'd be obeying it or getting shot by the patrolling four-man, like, identical squad thing.
Either way, your ankles will not be corrugated. symptom. Footwear does not fit snugly. Well, you gotta wear shoes. The cure is a slightly toxic blend of herbs and spices is drunk to straighten out the ankles. What do you think? Which ones? There are so many.
Oh, goodness.
Should we go a bit further down
here?
Just
go down slightly. So,
yeah, okay, we're getting third-degree sideburns caused by a wistful longing for the 1970s. Symptoms are big hair, flares, platforms, and glitter makeup. The cure is the psychiatry staff must, using up-to-date techniques, convince the patient that these hairy... I can't even pronounce this French word. Accoutrements are rubbish. it's debatable.
Infectious laughter.
You read this one.
Oh, okay, I'll have this one. It's joy. Infectious laughter is a disease. Psychiatric disease, according to the Theme Hospital guidebook that we're reading here. Now, this is caused by classic situation comedy.
Mm.
Symptoms include helpless chortling and repetition of unfunny catchphrases. I think I might have this.
This is Seinfeld syndrome.
Anyway, so apparently the cure for this, according to the our guidebook of Theme Hospital here, is that a qualified psychiatrist must remind the patient of how serious this condition is.
It's an absolutely tremendous
that's fantastic.
Conceit.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, someone put a lot of time into writing these diseases, because they're honestly, like, there's so many here. So serious radiation, for example, is caused by mistaking plutonium isotopes for chewing gum.
Oops.
Patients with this condition feel very, very unwell. And they must be placed in, like, a decontamination shower and cleansed properly.
Yeah.
Like, this is all just there. They wrote this.
You could get them former KGB operatives to take note here. You want, just tell them it's chewing gum.
Yeah, get Bullfrog on it.
Bullfrog could get a little cottage industry of assassination techniques going here. What else do we have here? Unexpected swelling. This is a surgical condition. The cause is anything unexpected. The symptom is swelling.
Right, so an unexpected swelling is caused by unexpected things, and the symptom is swelling.
Well,
okay.
There you go. It's,
just to recap.
It speaks for itself. by all means, listeners, like, look up these in your own time.
Yeah, I would definitely
Theme Hospital
have a look.
Diseases in Google, and, I mean, there's a lot of very funny afflictions in this list.
They're worth a read. I just forgot how many there were, to be honest.
Yeah, quite a few.
I remember there being bloaty head and heaped piles, but my goodness.
So this is a wacky and funny game, and that's quite handily reflected by the tune, right?
Yeah, that's kind of one of my favourite things about this, is that, like, it is a fun game that, while it is a strategy game, there's obviously a huge element of, like, lightheartedness about it, because, like, all the, you know, everything's, like, just comical in nature, and the way it's set up is designed to be fun and not as kind of serious as a hospital. But I mean, at the same time, I mean, while this track does have that kind of jovialness to it, it is kind of, it's really busy.
Yes.
Like, the way the, would you call it arpeggios? I'm not sure. There's the basic that movement.
That one?
It's difficult to describe vocally.
There's one that goes...
And it's basically the same repeating set of notes. with a different root each time.
Do you know what I mean? You call that arpeggiation.
Yeah, I think
you would. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is so busy and so constantly moving and fast. I mean, to me, that feels kind of like that hospital busyness. It has that kind of, you know,
wheeling trolleys around.
Yeah, totally. You know, reception are like, you know, answering phones off their feet, busy filling stuff in. The nurses are trying to like stab people full of stuff. The doctors are running around panicking. Like, yeah, it's got that. No, well, not panic, but you know, it's got that busyness to it,
yes,
where like there's stuff happening all the time. You can't really. There's not really a rest in the song. It's kind of constantly moving, and that's what hospital does.
In the melody and the chords, it still sounds somewhat routine. Like,
yeah,
it's casual and busy at the same time. Like
somehow, yeah. I mean, it's because it doesn't. It doesn't make you, like, I mean, I said panic before, but it doesn't really make you panic. It just has that kind of that busybody sort of thing to it being kind of aggressive about it. You know, it doesn't push you into it. It just kind of keeps you moving, you know, which I think is a lot of hospital life, to be honest.
You know, these days, if I find myself at someone's house on a weekend, you know, having a holiday somewhere, and they're like idly watching or non-watching some garbage daytime TV thing, like Flog It or Bargain Hunt or some like property. Oh, buy a house and what's it gonna? I'm gonna do some DIY and I'm gonna sell an antique, and you know, the music when they're not using little snippets of licensed music on the cheap, they do have like music that's sort of that. Bullfrog Maxis. That does sound a lot like SimCity 2000, actually. But
yeah,
but you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's is.
Like really, it's that really, really super corny COD jazz thing going on.
Yeah, definitely,
so
yeah.
It's got a bit of that going on. It's sort of a little bit mundane, but a bit cheeky with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely got a purpose and it fills that, but it kind of... It sort of pushes that a bit by being cheeky, I guess. It's kind of fun while still having a, you know, a relatively boring job to do, which is just filling the background noise, I guess, effectively.
You know, maybe we should have ended the show with this one, because it'd be a nice sunny note to go out on, right? You say, hey, perhaps, you know, life's not all warfare for most of us, thankfully.
I mean, if I'm honest, like, strategy games for me are a lot about building a big base, building a lot of tanks, and then blowing up my opponent's base. And I think this is what this final pick really symbolises.
Yes, it is. Yes. Well, you had a... Before we get into that, you did have an honourable mention, which was the legendary Hellmarch from Command & Conquer Red Alert.
Yeah, I mean, I guess... Yeah, absolutely. This is a song I couldn't really go through an RTS podcast without mentioning.
Yes. Frank Lopaki is the composer, and that's... you know, there's a pretty good chance I'll be doing a Command & Conquer Focus episode.
Oh, brilliant.
So maybe we'll have you on that.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, if you need someone to talk about Command & Conquer, I can do that.
Great. soundtracks that I'm very familiar with. Well, the first, up until Tiberian Sun, I think. I know them pretty well up until then. I mean, there's a lot of music in those games.
Tiberian Sun was the sequel to CNC1, wasn't it?
But it was released in our real chronology after
Red Alert.
After Red Alert and Red Alert Retaliation, yeah.
Yeah, so. But before Red Alert 2.
Yes, I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, because I think it was... Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, that franchise got confusing.
Yes, it certainly did. And then they started like feeding into each other slightly as well.
Oh, yeah?
But maybe we can talk about this on the Command & Conquer episode.
Okay, we'll go
but
there.
Anyway, yes, Hellmarch. For now. Hellmarch is a tremendous thing. It's it pains me to say it, but one of my favourite videos on YouTube, might not be there anymore, but there used to be a video. British listeners, maybe some Americans, I don't know if they have Viennetta in the United States. You know, the ice cream?
Yeah, totally.
Do they have Viennetta there?
I mean, I guess, is that what they would call ice cream cake?
Maybe,
because I've heard of
like
this phenomenon.
Viennetta
really
is a brand.
But...
It's like...
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a cakey-looking ice cream confection that you get in frozen sections of supermarkets.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a big block of ice cream, isn't it? With, like, bits
pretty
of
much
chocolate
run
through
it. It's a bit decorated, but...
Oh, yeah, it looks pretty.
There was
a
video of a factory making these Viennettes, like, bit by bit on this automated production line.
Yes, I can...
But the music, they removed the music and replaced it with the Hellmarch. And as soon as the heavy bit comes in, it all goes, like, colorized, like, deep red, like...
fantastic.
It's just, like, Viennetta marches down the conveyor belt, ready to be eaten by...
That's tremendous.
It's such a beautiful image. But I think it might have been taken down.
I've not seen that version. I've definitely seen that footage, though. The Viennetta factory is a sight to see.
I think someone did it with Sigur Rós as well to make it look really zen and world in motion. But the Hellmarch is definitely the better one.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's still out there, but I've been having trouble finding it.
To be honest,
if you can find it, please email me and tell me where it is, because you'd make my day, I swear. Hellmarch. It's a classic.
Yeah, absolute classic. I mean, I think that, to be honest, I think any episode of How It's Made would work really well with Hellmarch. They've all got that kind of...
like every episode has the same song.
Just play it. Just go for
half
it,
an hour. Yeah, man, why not?
Such a great track. But in a similar vein, I would almost consider this the sister song of Hellmarch.
Oh, would you? Oh, okay.
Just because it's the standout one of the prior game.
Right, so this is, I've picked a game, I've picked the original Command & Conquer, which has since been dubbed Tiberian Dawn by people who really hammer these games, just to avoid confusion.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. So, we did that with Guild Wars as well.
Right. So this is a PC game that found its merry way onto the PlayStation eventually, which is where I played it first. And the composer again is Frank Lopaki, Westwood Studios. If that name sounds familiar, which it probably does anyway, but earlier, I think it might have been the very first episode of 2018 on this show. I think it might have been. I did a focus on a Mega Drive game called Dungeons & Dragons Warriors of the Eternal Sun, which was a Westwood-produced game. It's like it's sort of a Western RPG type thing, but drawing heavily from the world of D&D.
Yeah.
And Klopaki was on the team for that. And I do hear little hints on that Mega Drive soundtrack of what was to come with Command & Conquer. So you can almost think of this as like a Red Book Audio continuation of his budding style, if you like. He calls his style Rocktronic, which is a real blunt word, but you see what he's doing there.
It's totally.
Heavy metal tempered with some electronic elements. It's all over his Red Alert stuff as well.
Yeah, it's really, really visible there, especially.
Yeah, one of my favourite soundtracks, full stop, for a computer game, I think, this original one. Some really nice, heavy stuff. Some orchestral, dramatic stuff. Some electronic stuff. Very varied and very rocking throughout. So before I tell you which track I've selected, we'll do a bit of closing business. If you'd like to get in touch, please do, especially if you have the link to the Viennetta video with Hellmarch on it.
We need that.
Yeah, one way or another, I will see. I'll have to make it myself if I can't find it on YouTube. Don't let it come to that. But yes, email me, foreversoundversion@gmail.com. You can follow this show on Facebook. Yes, it's easy enough to see, do a search for it, you'll find it. And the Twitter handle is FSVpodcast. Recently I've been posting examples of me experimenting with making digis or like 4-bit sampled audio happen on my Commodore 64. So if you're interested in me messing about with old computers and sharing dumb pictures, then you might find something to like on my Twitter account, so have a look on there. That's kind of it. Oh, some quick shout out to some other VGM podcasts, because there are a lot of good ones out there. Rhythm and Pixels, they are... I don't like to have favourites, but I do listen every week without fail. Rob and Pernell are just tremendous characters. Wholeheartedly recommend you check out that show if you're not already a listener. Their most recent episode, as I record this, was Boys with Bats. So it was tunes from games that have a bat connection, like a cricket bat. Or I say cricket bat, but they didn't cover any cricket games. baseball bats featured, things like that. So they have some really fun ideas for shows. Oh, geez, there are so many. The Dyad Presents, a VGM podcast. Total hero of mine, that guy, for his presentation style. Pixelated Audio, brilliant. Pixel Tunes Radio, brilliant. The VGM Jukebox, brilliant. Geez. And shout out to John as well from Nerd Noise Radio. He's doing some good stuff, picking some good tunes to play on his podcast. Man, I'm going to be forgetting some. But anyway, VGM podcasts, it's a real great thing for me to be involved in doing this thing, and I like to think I have a bit of a unique spin on it, being from Europe. Most of these podcasts, if not all of them, are from North America, so it's nice to give you a little taste of the East, if you like, or the relative East. Anyway, yeah. Ross, what do you think? Do you have anything you'd like to plug, or anything you want to say?
Well, nothing specifically, I guess. I mean, I don't really podcast anymore, so I just make computer games these days.
That's my podcasting right
my current
now.
Thing. So. Yeah, well, I guess. Yeah, I guess I'll plug this podcast then. But,
yeah, obviously we should get into that, because you're a kind of a maker of games, like studying this stuff.
Yeah, I'm studying games development, and I'm hoping to be it working for a games developer in a year or so at very least.
Yeah,
so
sure.
At very most, I guess. I don't know. As soon as possible. So, yeah, if there's any games developer jobs out there going, I'm a junior. I could definitely do the job.
He knows what he's talking about, and he works hard.
Yeah, I try my best. Yeah, I guess I'm at Ross Wyman. That's RossWhyman.
On Twitter.
That's on Twitter. And yeah, it's nice chatting to you, man.
Oh, nice chatting to you too. Thanks a lot for coming over, and thank you for the can of cider too. That was a very nice gesture.
Anytime. I come with cider.
It's like whenever Michael Thorne comes to guest on this podcast, he just brings a crate of Stella.
Oh, the Stella,
like,
yeah.
He's the man. All right, well, yeah, thanks again, Ross. I really couldn't have made this RTS focus tenable without your expertise, so it's much appreciated.
Anytime.
And we'll do this again before too long. To close out, we're going to have one more pick. As I said, it's Command & Conquer for the PC, Frank Lopaki, and the track I've selected is called Industrial One. And it is an industrial one, I think. If you're a fan of industrial rock and metal sort of tropes, then get into this one. All right. Yes, hopefully there will be another episode of this here podcast very soon. I do have more guests up my sleeve. After a barren patch of no guests, I now have quite a few, which is great because I don't have to talk to myself in the house. So keep an eye out for those. Until then, take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening. All the best for now.
Thank you.